Good morning to all of the wonderful people that are on the call today. It's always great on a Saturday morning to have the opportunity to communicate with ambitious, business-minded professionals who are just looking to get better. I take my hat off to you, and you should also give yourselves a pat on the back or a mini round of applause, if you will, for just taking the time and showing the commitment to be on the call today. I want to communicate first regarding training. But the question is always, what do you do with training? You can go many different places and find many different training platforms. You can find tons of professional development information. And the question always is, what do you do with training? How do you make it work for you? I heard a wise man once say that training actually doesn't work. Practice does. It's through the implementation of what we learn that we discover whether or not training is going to be effective in our lives. So today, we're going to outline what to do with training. I like to call this the trainee's training manual, because people hear training all the time. They hear speeches, they hear motivational talks, they hear inspirational talks, they hear all kinds of things. But the question is, what do you do with it? Well, we're going to delve into that today. I want to take you now to a grocery store. Think of your favorite grocery store, and I want you to imagine yourself with a basket in your hand that you're pushing down aisle from aisle to aisle, and I want you to begin to think about what you're going to place in your basket. Whatever your favorite food is, there is no budget limit there. You can buy whatever you like to buy. You can put whatever in that basket you like. If it's something that you've always thought about getting but never actually purchase, go ahead and throw it in your basket today. Put that entire list on your menu or in your shopping list in that basket, and then ask yourself a question once the basket's full. Now think about it. The basket's full. You've checked out already, and you're pushing that heavy cart to your car, and now you have to ask yourself, what good is all those things in the basket if they just stay in the basket? The answer is simple. It's zero. It does you zero benefit if it just stays in your basket. And now if you take it out of your basket and you place it in the refrigerator, in the pantry when you get home, if you put everything where it belongs, eventually the milk will spoil and the eggs will go bad, and all the things that you purchase will probably pass the expiration date and no longer be of use if you don't do something with the training or with the food in this regard when you take it out of your shopping cart. We go to the store and we don't buy food to put it in a museum. We buy food to eat it. It has zero nutritional value until we consume it. The same thing holds true with training. It's not the opportunity to access training that's important. It's not the opportunity to hear a speaker on a conference call that does you any good. It's only when that training gets deep down within us that training then begins to show an impact in our daily productivity and outcomes. So today we're going to outline, what do we do with training that actually makes a meal? You know that if you've been listening to these calls at any point in time, you know I'm always going to have an acronym somewhere. I enjoy using acronyms because it helps us to remember. And MEAL is our acronym for today. It is going to let us know what to do with training when we receive it. We get good training, and if you've ever gone to any kind of seminar or conference and you've been motivated or pumped up for 2 days, I'm sure that this has happened. It happens to everybody. You get excited, you get energized, and that training lasts you for, oh, maybe 48 hours. Some people may be fortunate if it lasts 72. Well, we want to talk about how to extend that training and make it last far longer and make it provide us even greater benefit. Our MEAL acronym. First, that M in our MEAL acronym is, it says we've got to meditate on it. We've got to think about it. It's got to be something that saturates our minds. Now, think about going to the store. You got your shopping cart items. Hopefully, when you were going down the aisle and you were picking up all the things you wanted, maybe you put a brisket in there or a leg of lamb or pot roast, whatever you put in your basket that was that size and density, you've got to marinate it in order for it to be effective. You just can't throw meat in the oven and then expect it to come out and taste great. It's got to have some type of attention and time and care. And that's the part of the marination or meditation process. It's when you're saturating your mind with the new thing you've just learned. I challenge you today that after the call is over and once you receive the recording, to listen to it again and listen to it again. Maybe not back to back, but throughout the course of your day, allow your mind to become saturated with what you learn. Because again, we all think in pictures, and when we see great positive pictures, we can typically end up actualizing what it is that we've seen. Well, by the same token, when you meditate on training, envision yourself implementing those points. Envision yourself carrying out these steps and processes. Think about it. There's a three-step process to marinating, as it were, or meditating on a training topic. First, there is saturation. That's when you hear it again and again and again. That's when you memorize the key points and you take the notes and you write it down and you start to communicate it with someone else and you begin to talk about what you've learned today. This may have happened to you if you're a parent. I am. And every time my kids are in the car and we're headed home, the first question I ask is, what did you learn today? Well, of course, sometimes the answer is, oh, not much, or I don't know, or I don't remember. But through the process of talking about it, they begin to then become saturated with the things the teachers taught them earlier in the day. By the same token, when you marinate on the training processes that have been taught, then you start saying to yourself, so we say to ourselves, man, I'm going to get better. We begin to communicate it. It becomes a topic of our conversation. After we saturate, we then evaluate. That's when we begin to say, how can this specifically benefit me? I challenge you that every single training lesson, if it's a quality lesson, can benefit us in some way or another. Every lesson we learn, everything that we study, everything that we saturate our minds with, if we evaluate it, now that's when we're saying, how is it going to work well for us? Okay, for example, we can all have the same cut of meat in our basket that we've taken home. And for some people, you may not like fried food. You may like your food baked. Others may like their food grilled on the outside pit. Whatever you like, you've got to evaluate how that training is going to benefit you. By the same token, we all hear lessons and training all the time, and the evaluation stage is that stage when we say, okay, how can this specifically deal with my specific situation? That's the evaluation part. We've saturated our minds with it. We've heard it once or twice, and now we begin the process of evaluating how it fits for us. Do we want this training fried, fricasseed, shish kebab? How do we want it? Do we want it grilled? Do we want it baked? However we want it, we've got to make it fit our own personal situations. Then the final step in that component, after we have saturated and evaluated, then it comes the process of initiate. This is when we actually put the meat in the oven. We put it in the oven. We've got it baking now. It's going. We're now initiating it. We made it like we wanted it. And now we're actually at the stage where it's going to produce a benefit to us. Remember, the saturation is great and the evaluation is awesome. It's only when we initiate do we start to cook or process and start implementing the things that we've learned. I challenge everyone on the call today, when you're talking to the other leaders and the other people that are on your team, I challenge you to challenge them to initiate what they've learned, saturate themselves in it. If there are key points, they should remember those key points and know them like the back of their hands. And then they should evaluate how they're going to make it work for them that day. And then after that, the goal is to initiate and say, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to implement this. Think of all the training lessons we've learned, all the lessons that we've been taught, all the motivational speeches, all the informational speeches we've heard, and we've got a library of them either in our brains, or we've got a library written down somewhere or recorded somewhere, and they do us very little good until we begin to put those principles into practice. When we practice the principles, that's cooking the meat. Now we've got that meat cooking, and we're on to our next step. That we're only going to discuss the first two in our meal acronym. First is to marinate. We've got to have it marinated. The second one is to have the right environment or equipment. Is having the right environment in which the food you purchase can actually be consumed in a healthy manner. Just imagine if you got home and you discovered after getting this meat, you saturated it, you've marinated it, you put it in the right kind of place, and you open up the oven and you put it in the oven only to discover that something's wrong with your oven. Oh man, it doesn't work. The oven now does not work. You go out to the grill and for some reason the grill is not working. You say, well, man, I'll try the microwave, and you discover that it doesn't work. Well, without the right equipment, no training works either. It's not beneficial unless the equipment that supports the training is there. So what kind of equipment or environment or support do I need in order to make training work for me? Whatever that equipment might be, I've got to make sure I get it, because all my groceries will go bad if I don't have the equipment to prepare them. one of those equipment, one of those components is I have to have the right peer group. Now, if you're talking about cooking and the analogy that we've used, that peer group says that that's having all of your utensils laid out that can do what you need to do with those that meat you purchase. I've got to have the right equipment. The right peer group is important. The people who believe in you, the people who you believe in, the people who you're going to war with every day, that's the group that you've got to identify. If for some reason you don't have a peer group, you've got to get one. You've got to connect yourself to someone who not only believes in you and believes in what you're doing, but is committed to holding you accountable. He's not going to allow you to let that good meat go to waste. He's not going to allow you to let those great groceries just go bad. That accountability partner is someone that says, we're going to work this together, and together we will win. Yes, my friends, we've got to have that right peer group. And if we've got the right peer group, then we go to that second step of what we do to make training work. We've got to have the right personality, the right makeup mentally. When I say personality, I want to be clear. Any personality can excel in any home-based business. The right personality simply says we've got to have the right approach or the right attitude. If you buy something from the store and you're disappointed with it and you think the meal's going to turn out bad even before you cook it, guess what? The meal probably won't be a great one. But if the attitude toward that meal is, no matter what I'm given, I'm going to work with it and make it great, that's the attitude that makes champions. So another part of the equipment, it's an intangible. It's not just having the right peer group, it's having the right mental approach in order to make things work. My kids and I watch cooking shows quite a bit, and we watch this show called Chopped. And on this cooking show, Chopped, they give them all these different types of challenges, and they may begin preparing a dish, and there is no obstacle, no challenge at all. And all of a sudden, somebody says, well, hey, we're going to take away this primary ingredient, and now we're going to give you this one. They've got to still make an ingredient or a dish no matter what the obstacle is. In some cases, on Chopped, they've got to put their hand behind their back and only cook with one hand. In some cases, I saw one episode where the guy had to actually cut his meat with a chain. Chainsaw. In order for that, he could use no other equipment but a chainsaw to cut his meat. Well, guess what? He ended up winning the challenge, not because he had the poorest equipment to use, but his attitude toward what he was given made him successful. So in business, by the same token, we've got to have that mentality that no matter what we are given, we can be successful with it, because at the end of the day, people buy us, our belief in what we do. The chefs that have so much confidence in their ability to prepare a great meal, that confidence is that other equipment that we've got to have. Never give up or stop believing in what you have been given. The peer group is phenomenal, and at the end of the day, you can have the greatest peer group, and if there is no strong constitution on the inside that says, I'm going to make it no matter what. This is the path I've taken. This is the company I've chosen. This is the dream I'm following, and I'm going to make this work. I'm not going to say I can't win because I'm cutting with a chainsaw, or I can't win because I've got one hand tied behind my back. No, the right equipment says that I've got to saturate my mind, and I've got to have the peer group and the personality in order to win, and win every time. We've talked about a couple of key components. We've talked about preparing a great meal as it pertains to training. And first, the first step is there has to be a marination process where we're meditating on what we learn. And that comes through saturation, evaluation, and initiation. Those three steps are going to help us apply the things that we've been taught on a daily basis. Then to support what we've been taught, we've got to have the right equipment. A great brisket can't be prepared without some type of grill or stove or oven. Same token, great training is not effective if there's not the right personality or receptiveness as far as attitude is concerned, and the right peer group, meaning other people that can say, yes, we can make it, and we can make it together. My friends, I thank you for all the time that you shared with me today. I appreciate the time. And remember, I always say, whether you're full-time or part-time, I thank you for your time. I'm D.L. Wallace, and you are one step closer to achieving your goals. Have a great day.